Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hi, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral. And we are blessed once again to have an amazing guest, Joseph Cinemato. Joseph is a young adult leader, evangelist. He is a professional in terms of what he does as a photographer, a journalist. He freelances as a filmmaker. Man, you're busy. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Hello, Steve. It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
And one of the most important things as we focus on building young adult Catholic communities is to be in love with Jesus.
Amen.
So tell us about your story and how you fell in love with Jesus Christ. Tell us about that evolution. Was it something that happened slowly over time, or was it more all of a sudden?
Well, Steve, you know, it started at a very young age. I would say I was blessed to be born into an Italian family. And
amen. Hallelujah.
Amen to that.
Remember, there's only two kinds of people in the world, right?
Okay. Exactly.
Anyway, keep going.
But yeah, so, you know, with that, like, culturally, Italians are very Catholic. So I was blessed with my mom, most devout person I've ever met in my life. And she raised me from a very young age. She used to take me before school in the morning. We would go to daily mass or even just sit in the church. And I think through that, I gained an appreciation for the church that I wouldn't necessarily have in another way. But, you know, as I got older, you know, we get into trouble and I started to drift away from the church, you know, through later high school and into like early college, to the point where I didn't really have much faith at all. And I remember I was still very active as far as like talking to people about how they should be Catholic and things like that, because it was so well ingrained within me. But spiritually, I didn't have faith. And I didn't even really recognize that until one day I was sitting in confession. It wasn't even by my choice. I had led somebody else into the church. And through that, I ended up having to go into confession as like an example. But I had no interest in confessing. I had no care or interest in that. And I sat down with the priest and I told him, he's like, oh, so what would you like to confess? And I don't care to confess anything. And he's like, oh, well, why not? And I told him, I was like, well, you know, I just don't have any faith. And I had never spoken these words before. The Holy Spirit had just put them in my mouth. I just said them out. And when I said that, it dawned on me. I told the priest, I was like, you know, I know that God exists. I just don't have any faith.
But that is such an important step, mm-hmm. is to really come to grips with where we are in relationship with God. And my brothers and sisters, it's okay to say, help me have faith.
Mm-hmm.
Help me open my eyes that I may see you clearly. Because the most important thing is to be honest.
Amen. And you know what, Deacon? Those are the exact words that priest gave me that day. I don't remember the priest's name. That was the first time I'd ever met him, and I've never met him since. But those were the exact words that the priest gave me that day. And he said, you know, well, have you ever asked God for faith? Have you ever prayed for God to give you the faith that you need? And it seemed so simple. It seemed so simple to me, but I had never even thought of the fact that you could just ask God for that faith. And it was such a convicting moment for me that I left and I resolved. I gave God a time frame. I said, okay, for 1 month, I will pray every single day, just a simple prayer. God, give me faith. If this is true, and if this is your will, then you have to give me the faith that I need, because I just don't believe it. Like, I just don't, or I'm sorry, it's not that I don't believe, I just don't feel it. I don't feel your love. I don't feel like you actually love me.
My brothers and sisters, this is one of the most profound things I've heard in quite some time because of the simplicity of it from the heart. Many of you are struggling right now. You're struggling with believing. You're struggling, is this real? Is God real? Why don't things happen in the way that I think they should happen? But that profound faith of just asking, questioning, challenging is so important. As we take a look at Luke 11:9 and following up to verse 13, it says, "And I tell you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks the door will be open. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish? Or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" My brothers and sisters, we need to ask for the Holy Spirit. Because when we ask for the Holy Spirit leads us to faith.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit leads us to be convicted. And we know from Hebrews 11:6 that it's impossible to please God without faith, but he rewards those who believe he exists. So when we ask for faith, when we ask for the Holy Spirit, we can be 100% certain that we'll get it. So then what happened?
Well, Steve, like you said, that's exactly what happened. I spent 30 days, and every single day, or I should say every single night when I would go to bed, I prayed that prayer. And at first, you know, I there was nothing. You know, I was a skeptic for sure, through and through, a total skeptic. But as that continued, on the 30th day, the last day, I get a call from a young girl that I had met probably my first day of, I think it was the first day of college, and she was Italian.
Of course.
of course. But she had been Protestant at the time. Mm-hmm. And I told her, like, that's just not a thing. You can't be Italian and not be Catholic. So I would always bug her. And then eventually, you know, we became extremely close friends. She went up north to school. And then I hadn't seen her for a couple of years. She called me on that 30th day and said, "Hey, Joseph, you're not going to believe this." I'm like, what's going on? She's like, "Well, I'm back in Orange County." I was like, "Oh, phenomenal. Like, I love you. We got to get together." She's like, "Yeah, well, the part that you're not going to believe, I'm Catholic now."
Praise God.
I was like, "Oh my gosh." She's like, "Well, you know," and this was many years ago. She said, "Well, I'm Catholic now. And, there's no young adult community in Orange County. So I want to start something, but I don't know anybody. You're the only person that I know, and you know everybody. Will you start a young adult ministry? Will you help me? Will you support me in starting a young adult ministry?" And I couldn't even believe my eyes, because that was something that was one of the biggest issues growing up as a Catholic in Orange County, just in general. I think right now with the current generations is, like, there's no community. There's nothing for our age range. So there's no support. And she called me on that 30th day and gave me a call to arms to come and help support and build this young adult ministry with her. And that was I think 8 years ago at this point.
This Deacon Steve Greco, Empowered by the Spirit, with Joseph Cinemato, who is one of the young adult leaders in the Diocese of Orange at OLQA, Our Lady Queen of Angels. He's got an amazing young adult ministry going on there, a ministry called Rise. Is that correct?
Yes, Rise.
And what does that stand for?
You know, Steve, we don't actually have any, like, meaning for the words, but essentially it means kind of like rise up and take your cross is how we kind of view it. As, you know, as young adults, we need to rise up and take responsibility of our own ministry and build it. And that's exactly what we did. We built it from the ground up as young adults ourselves before it was ever officially sanctioned by the diocese.
My brothers and sisters, let's take a look at John 15:16. "It's not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command you, love one another." It's so important, Joseph, that people understand that God is calling them. God is knocking on that door, and we just need to open the door and say yes to him. You felt the Holy Spirit calling to you. You had that nudge. And you decide to act upon it, but you also look for signs. You ask for signs. You ask for God to reveal himself to you, and God will always reveal himself to you. If your heart is in the right place, the Lord will always reveal himself to you.
Amen. Amen. And you know, that prayer that I received was a blessing from the Holy Spirit. And my prayer being answered on that 30th day, I will eternally be grateful to our Father for that. And that day was just the beginning. As you know, like once that starts, that was just the beginning. I was still intellectually a deep skeptic. You know, I had a lot of answers that needed to be answered. And I knew at that time, if this is what it's going to be, then I have to know that this stuff is true. I was raised with scientists and engineers, and through that, I had a lot of questions that needed to be answered. And year after year, all of those questions were answered, and you eventually get to the point where you just know.
You know that you know that you know. We're going to be right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back to talk more about building young adult Catholic communities.
God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire. Lord, I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire.
Win a trip to the Holy Land. Simply subscribe to Sunday delivery of OC Catholic and the OC Register, and you'll be automatically entered to win. No purchase necessary to enter. Travel to some of Christianity's most important sites. This inspirational tour is truly a vacation of a lifetime. All you have to do is subscribe to Sunday delivery of OC Catholic and the OC Register, and you'll automatically be entered to win. Visit OCCatholic-subscribe.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back here high atop the Tower of Hope at beautiful Christ Cathedral in Orange, California, in the Diocese of Orange, in Garden Grove, actually, California. And we're here with Joseph Cinemato talking about building young adult Catholic communities, how God called him as he challenged God to reveal himself to him, that the Lord revealed himself. And then now you're in this position where you want to build this young adult ministry and all kinds of challenges. Tell us about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we live in such a secular world now. Things have changed drastically over the last, 50, 60 years, but even beyond that, over the last 500 years with philosophy. And I think the primary struggles right now is people don't actually really understand what it means to be like fully human, to completely be what we are designed to be. And this is even before theology. I mean, you go back to the Greeks, the philosophers, and just from rationale, they deduced, and you could deduce what it actually means to be human. It means that we always seek truth. We seek goodness. We seek self-preservation, family, and society and community. And when you look at like what Aristotle talks about when it comes to living a good life, he says community is integral to living a virtuous life. Virtuous life being a life of persistent virtue, to live in joy, not these immediate pleasures. But our society has become completely focused on the immediate pleasures, which distract us from that lifelong pursuit of virtue.
We're built to love each other, to have Jesus flow within our hearts, to build community. In fact, as we take a look at the early community within the church, they got together every single day. And we see this in Acts 2, where it says they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles, as Acts 2:42, the breaking of the bread and the prayers. All came upon them, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. They all believed together and had things in common. And every day they devoted themselves to meeting together, every single day. So they knew that community was the foundation of really building one's faith community. And young adults are looking for community, as we all are. But what are some of the major issues that young adults are facing today, and why they're not involved in the church?
Yeah, so I think that a lot of it boils down to a support structure, but, you know, it was interesting. So I gave a talk recently, and in preparation for that talk, I was just kind of reading through some of the reasons that people were leaving the church. And I found an article that broke them down. And almost all of them came down to community. I mean, the first one that I read on the list was, you know, people are leaving when they can't find community. But we're the church. We're supposed to be the community of the world, you know? And as I went through them, there was 10 points on this article, and pretty much every single one of them in some way was related to community, fellowship. You know, I have people were leaving the church because of drama. They needed less drama in their lives, and church is where they found drama. They couldn't find community. They had unresolved conflicts that they were facing, unskilled teachers and leaders that they were dealing with. People were going for social climbing, cliques, and nepotism. They didn't want to feel like they had to become carbon copies of people. You know, they were being pushed on how to be a good Christian in voting. They were looking for something authentic. That was the third one on the list. That was number three. One of the third, like, most prevalent issues. People were looking for something authentic. They felt, number two was, they felt lonely in church. They felt lonely going to church community. And the really heartbreaking one is the number one reason people were leaving the church was because they couldn't find Jesus.
Now, with young adults, it's interesting because obviously there's similarities with all adults, but the generation is profoundly different.
Mm-hmm.
The way they see the world,
mm-hmm.
the way they use technology, the way they communicate with each other. Tell us about that and how it impacts their faith walk.
Yeah, well, it's a double-edged sword. It's very much a double-edged sword because we live in the era of technology and the era of information. And people are so bombarded with their, like, whatever is in their tunnel, whatever is in their scope. And unfortunately, that's mostly not Catholic. It's mostly not Christ-centered. It's mostly focused on pleasures, concerns, apps, whatever it's going to be. And my generation, we were, in many ways, we didn't get a lot of catechesis. We didn't get a lot of formation. I mean, from my personal experience, very little. I could say if any. And then there was zero community, nothing. So growing up, you know, I always believed that I was just on my own little island. You know, Catholics were all on their own little island. And in a culture and society that no longer expects and fosters Christian virtue and Christian life, it's not going to form on its own. It's not just going to appear. So, you know, when we look at this void that's been developed over the last 60 years, you know, you go back 60 years, people were getting married and starting families between 18 and 25. Now, I think the average age of marriage is, I think it's somewhere around 29, 30. So this is this massive void that the church has never, ever had to deal with. And that's where all of these young adults are leaving the church, because they don't have that community life to foster virtue and to foster a love for Christ. And they didn't have the formation as kids to truly understand what that means and the necessity of it.
How do you bring Christ to them? How do you bring Jesus to them in a way that there's this metanoia, this transformation? I mean, we're in Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. We're blessed to have a fairly dynamic, if not very dynamic, young adult community that's growing through our prayer ministry, our prayer group, Bible study, retreats that we've done. And yet, I constantly feel that we're just, you know, it's a challenge. And it's a challenge, and we've had young adult leaders on our show often. And it's somehow unlocking the door somehow in which they get on fire for Jesus. You know, and certainly there are young adults, many young adults on fire for Jesus, but it feels as if many of them, while community is so important, many of them are more interested in the social, are more interested in the music, are more interested in their buddies coming together, but they don't want to give up their lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to stop living with someone, you know, out of wedlock. They don't want to stop sinning, you know, and I get it. I mean, for all of us, you know, breaking away from sin is really a critical thing that all of us, or at least most of us, I would think, struggle with. But there's an understanding the fact that we're supposed to do that, you know, and your thoughts on that. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense, Steve. I mean, that's my daily ministry struggle, because almost all of my ministry work is young adult focused. And, you know, the solution to the problem is exhausting to think about, but it's so simple. Again, just like that, why don't you just pray for the Holy Spirit? It's love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor like yourself. And it's really that simple, but it has to be relentless. It's just relentless because, you know, we're living, especially my, you know, millennials, my generation, we were raised at the crescendo of modernity, at the crescendo of postmodern philosophy. Christ has almost been completely removed from society. You know, we're fighting, the church as whole, church militant, is fighting to reclaim ground that we've lost, but we've lost this ground already. My generation was raised in just a purely non-Christian society. So when we look at the context, the fact that we have to essentially, I mean, we're evangelists. We have to bring this almost a new message, because the message that a lot of people, a lot of young adults who are raised Catholic have of Christ, it's not actually Christ. It's not actually Catholic. So we have to re-evangelize. And the way that we do that to people who, you know, have a lifestyle that they love or that they think that they love, you know, a twisted version of love, having that, the only thing that we can do is show them Christ's love. Show them such an authentic, patient, and genuine love that it will open their eyes and their ears to listen to then the message that you can give them. You know, I've in young adult ministry, I can tell you I've spent years talking to individual people who, if I was focused on myself and the triumph that I will make trying to evangelize somebody, then I would have abandoned them, you know, way earlier. But it wasn't about that. It was about me being a Christian and loving, truly loving them in a way that in their mistakes, I can still show patience, because it's not about a triumph. It's about, well, let me show this person a little bit of Christ's love.
And certainly for all of you ministers out there, whether it be adult or young adult, certainly relates the same, but it is a challenge. And take a look at Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence. It will have great recompense. You need endurance to do the will of God and receive what he has promised. And I say to all of you, do not give up, do not give up, do not give up. We're going to talk more about this perseverance, especially as it relates to young adults. We come right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gems of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102, 714-489-6102.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. This is Deacon Steve Greco here high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, in the Orange Diocese. And we're talking about building young adult community with Joseph Cinemato, who is a young adult leader at Our Lady Queen of Angels in Newport Beach. And we've been talking about perseverance. It's so important that we don't get discouraged, but we understand that God's timing is so important and we have to just stay the course.
Yeah. Like I was saying before, you know, we have people, the majority of people have been raised in a society where they never actually truly know Christ. They just genuinely don't know Christ and they're so enveloped in their life. We're riddled. We're completely enveloped with instant gratification. Everybody is looking for this instant gratification. And what that comes down to, I mean, when you look at the millennial generation, has the lowest self-esteem of any generation prior.
How, where does that come from in terms of, is that a statistic that somehow said, or?
It was, you know, I can't remember exactly what it came off of, but I was listening to a talk last night with business professionals about working with millennials in the business environment, and they were talking about that statistic and how it relates and affects their social life and their business life. I can't remember exactly where it came from.
But generally, that you concur with that, that
yeah,
the self-esteem
yeah.
is very low.
Well, and I think that the drive for pleasure versus joy, the drive for immediate gratification is a testimony to that. Because, one, when you're not living that life of beauty, that life of Kalan, in a virtuous, joy-filled life with the spirit, then you're trying to fill that void with pleasures. Well, that void can never be filled with immediate pleasures. So it's just a constant cycle that gets worse and worse and worse. That's what we're dealing with. That's what we're looking at. That's people who are feeling this void. They don't know the answer, but what they do know is that they can get a little bit of relief from that for a split second if they do this. And that's the only thing that they know. It's like someone who's drowning in the ocean, and they know if they keep swimming down, there's going to be little air bubbles that pop up, and they can get a quick little bubble. But what they don't realize is if they just turn around and let themselves lightly float to the top, then they can breathe freely. Instead,
awesome.
They're grasping for these little air bubbles that are coming up from the ocean, but they're just going to drown themselves doing that.
My brothers and sisters, is the enemy, the world wants to convince you that the way to happiness is sex, money, power, doing your way, doing your will. But we know that that does not give you joy. And joy, we like to say, is Jesus over you. It doesn't give you that fulfillment, because we're created, we're made to love God, to know God, to love him and to serve him. We're created in a certain way. We're wired in a certain way that only Jesus can fill us. And yet, trying to get that message through, you know, I guess we're all like the Israelites wandering around the desert. I mean, we're really stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to do it my way. You know, the old Frank Sinatra song. Let me do it my way. And we kind of pride ourselves in saying, well, nobody's going to tell me what to do. You know, I know what's best for me. The reality is we don't know what's best for us, but Jesus is best for us. That much we know. And when we trust in him and realize and make him captain of the ship, that's when our life changes.
Yeah, amen. You know, when you look at the second command of that great command, love your neighbor as yourself, you have to ask yourself, you know, in a time when people have such low self-esteem, how can you truly love your neighbor as yourself if you don't love yourself? You know, if we were able to look at ourselves through the goggles of God and see ourselves the way that God sees us, there would never be a self-esteem issue on the planet, ever, from anybody. If we could see ourselves with the majesty that God has, and with the love that he sees in us, he doesn't see these, you know, decrepit little creatures. He sees his children. And all we have to do is answer that call to be his children. And if we could do that and love ourselves the way that God loves us, we could love anybody.
And we're with really a giant, really a dynamic man, a holy man, Joseph Sinamato, who is really telling us how much God loves us. And if we open up our eyes, we will see that love. And take a look at Ephesians 1, who says, blessed be, this is verse 3 and following, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessings. He chose us before the foundation of the world to be holy without blemish. He sees us as holy. He sees us without blemish. In love, he destined us for adoption through himself, through Jesus Christ, in accordance with the favor of his will. We are adopted to be his adopted sons and daughters for the praise of his glory. That's how he sees us. You know, it's interesting going to a funeral and listening to eulogies, and you hear all these incredible things. And, you know, at times you may know the person and go, well, yeah, that's true, but, you know, but there's another side. Well, Jesus doesn't see the other side because he died on the cross for that other side. All he sees is the good, because that's who he created. He created us to be holy and spotless and blameless and filled with love and filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we adapt that reality, our life changes.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, Steve, that passage that you just read, just it really strikes home, because, you know, I think when we think about heaven and we think about life and the structure, you know, I feel like, you know, we live in a democratic society, which is beautiful. It's good. But the one thing that it makes it harder, I think, for us to see is, you know, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. Hundreds of years ago, when pretty much everybody lived under kings, it was very easy to kind of, I think, see this structure and to understand what an heir is and to understand what it means to be an heir to the throne. And when we accept Christ into our lives, to truly understand that we become co-heirs of the kingdom of heaven. Some feeble little human being, by becoming an adopted brother of Christ, we are as well members of that royal family, members of the royal family of God.
The royal priesthood. And as we take a look at Romans 8, and this is 8:14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. You did not receive a spirit of slavery, fall back into fear, but a spirit of adoption through which we cry, Abba, Father, which is Daddy, Daddy. We are that intimate with God, you know, and we all need that, whether you be a young adult or older adult. It doesn't matter. A child, we all need it. We need it desperately to know and to feel loved and to feel the love of the Father and to open up our hearts and our souls and our minds to receive the Holy Spirit, to receive Jesus. What's working the most as it relates to the young adult ministry right now, do you think?
When I took over the ministry, I wanted to focus on a couple of things. The thing that, like you said before, the thing that really draws people out is the social stuff, social elements. And I'm fortunate to be a very social person, so I can communicate with people and I can make people feel welcome. But like you also said earlier, we're not growing good fruit out of that because, you know, a lot of it's focused on just being a big party. And then it's just, oh, well, I'm partying, but this time I'm partying with people who were, you know, maybe raised Catholic. Well, that's not going to just bring the Spirit into you. You have to water the plant. If you're not watering the plant, if you're not watering the seeds, the plant's not going to grow up. So I really tried to focus on implementing multiple pillars. You know, social, you have to be able to draw people in with the social elements. You know, God called us to go out into the world because we have to actually be able to socialize with people and bring them in. And then once you have these people and you're showing them genuine love, you know, an interest directly in them, not in conquering or triumphing them, but an actual genuine care and interest in them, then, you know, you introduce spiritual elements. You introduce, which is, in my opinion, one of the most important right now in this age of information, is the intellectual. You know, start introducing catechesis. I try to introduce lots of events that are focused on particular topical studies, particular points, but theological, catechetical, actually introducing them to that stuff. And then the fourth pillar that I like to focus on is liturgical, because like you said before, people are focused on the music, going to some vibrant church that feels like a party when they're at the church. Well, that's not what it's about. It's not about a rock concert. You know, however you're going to feel the Spirit is good, but we have to understand the proper focus: spirituality, theology, and liturgy. Like, having these elements and understanding them while being able to draw people in with a social context, we've had phenomenal success focusing on those kinds of elements. So that's what I've built my entire ministry around since I took over, is trying to build a home for people, having people. I was given this advice a long while ago, maybe five or six, maybe longer. When I started to come back into the church, I was given this advice, you know, at any given moment, you should constantly be mentoring and ministering to somebody and be getting mentorship and ministry from another person, you know, so that it's essentially a long ladder, a long chain of ministry that's always going up. If you're not seeking spiritual growth yourself and theological growth yourself, and you're not seeking to help other people in their spiritual journey, then what are you doing? You're not doing anything.
And God is constantly calling us, my brothers and sisters, to come to him. Think about what Jesus said to the disciples, the apostles, come follow me. He's asking us to come follow him, to get deeper, to strive for holiness. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. We're going to be right back to talk more about building young adult communities.
Would you like an opportunity to read and discuss inspiring books by bright Catholic authors? The OC Catholic Book Club offers quarterly book titles reviewed and chosen by Bishop Kevin Vann. Every 3 months, members gather to meet the author and hear informed commentary about the book by local church scholars. Membership in the OC Catholic Book Club includes 4 books and tickets to the author forums. For more information, visit occatholic.com/oc-catholic-book-club or call 714-282-3045.
Hello, everyone. It's Deacon Steve Greco. We're back here high atop the Tower of Hope on Empowered by the Spirit with Joseph Cinemato, who is a young adult leader in the Orange Diocese at Our Lady of Queen of Angels. And we're talking about building young adult communities and the many, many wonderful things happening at his church and throughout the diocese, throughout the Catholic Church. And yet, a lot of challenges, too. And we've been talking about kind of perseverance. We've been talking about what works. Tell us some stories about what really has been working for you.
Yeah. In many ways, Steve, this mentality for me was again, fostered by my mother. She, one of the lessons that she taught us when we were kids about compassion and love, essentially taking our love out into the world, is the story about her. When she was in high school, she was one of the very, very popular girls. And, you know, there was this one girl in school who was always just kind of bullied or forgotten. But my mom, no matter what, would always go up to her and show her love. Like, no matter what was going on, this girl always knew that my mom would give her a smile, say hi, genuinely care about whatever was going on. For my mom, it really meant nothing. It was just her being, her existence. For this girl, however, it meant so much more. And years later, I think it was 20 or 30 years later, at a high school reunion, this girl comes up to my mom, and my mom had no idea who this person was. And the girl came up in tears and gave my mom this massive hug and told her this story. You know, I never knew love from anybody. You know, she was constantly depressed, but she said she knew no matter what was going on every day, I knew that you would be there. And this was somebody that my mom was not friends with. She didn't know her, but she just walked through life willing the good of others, giving that love. And that changed that girl's life. That changed the course of that girl's life. That's what we need to take out into society, you know, to have peace and love. When I came back to the church, one of the things that I was very focused on was I felt called to was missionary work. And what's interesting is that's something that prevails within the millennial generation, is millennials are extremely cause focused. They want to make a change in the world. And whenever you bring up missionary work to young adults, who even young adults who aren't that committed to the church or to theology, when you say, oh, missionary work, their eyes light up. Because it's the chance to do this greater good, you know, the pursuit of this greater good. And one of the most profound experiences I ever had was on my very first mission, which was in the LRA war zone in the Congo jungle in Africa, right on the border of South Sudan. And this was back in 2012, kind of at the peak of the whole Kony 2012 thing with the LRA and the children soldiers and all that stuff. I was sitting with the chief of the Zonde tribe, Ambrose, a beautiful human being, beautiful and brilliant man. And he had such a stoic peace about him all the time. You know, we're in this chaotic area. We just finished going through the refugee camps, and, you know, I'm sweating, flies everywhere, mosquitoes. And I just sit there, and I was really trying to understand the culture, getting into the anthropology of the Congo out there. And I asked him, you know, he had tons of family around that was living with him. And I asked him, you know, Dr. Ambrose, because not only was he the chief of the tribe, he was also the doctor. So I asked him, Dr. Ambrose, I noticed you have a lot of family around here. they, you know, that are living with you specifically, that are living with you in your house. You know, you have your sister and your nephews and everybody and your nieces. Is that a cultural thing? Like, do you guys generally, do they all kind of live with you? And he turned to me, this man of peace, and calm. And he told me it was maybe a couple of days, a week tops before I had arrived, like a huge portion of his family had been killed by the LRA.
Mm.
They had been attacked and killed. And so with that, he took them under his roof. And I was just shattered. I was shaken because he was so, you would have never guessed, having lived with him all this time, I would have never guessed that they had been attacked a couple of days prior and that he had experienced such a grave loss in his family. But it was because he was so filled with the Spirit. You know, obviously I can guarantee you he was sad. I can guarantee you that that truly hurt him, the pain of having to deal with that. But he was so filled with the Spirit that even with that sorrow and pain, he still projected peace and love. And when I experienced that, and when I came back and thought about, you know, the fact that here in the West, we go out and our Starbucks order gets messed up and it ruins our entire day. You know, we can't go out and share love and peace with anybody because our Starbucks order got messed up. And yet this truly Christ-filled man, this truly Spirit-filled man in the jungle in a war zone outside a refugee camp can lose a large portion of his family a couple days prior to taking me in under his own protection. And he can just project the love of the Spirit. That's a true calling to me that's how we need to go out into society. We need to take that peace. We need to pray for the Spirit to fill us in that kind of fashion, fill us so fully that forget, you know, your Starbucks order getting screwed up or your phone breaking or any of these things, that no matter what happens, that we can still share this love with every single person that we meet, whether it's my mom in the hallway at school or your coworkers at work or someone that you see who just seems down on the streets, anybody that we can share this peace, give them a peace of love.
And we know what Jesus told us, that he gives us a peace that the world cannot give us, a peace that passes all understanding. One of the big challenges is that we pursue happiness, which often is fleeting, rather than joy.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of my friends recently gave me this beautiful painting of the Immaculate Heart. He gave it to me as a gift out of love, out of genuine love for the ministry that I do. And, you know, when he gave it to me, he very beautifully described this painting. You know, he said, "We gave him the cross. We gave him the crown of thorns." And as you see in the picture, you know, Jesus is holding his heart. And he says, but he gave us the flame of the Holy Spirit in his heart. We gave him the cross and the crown of thorns, and he gave us the flame of the Holy Spirit and his very own heart. And if we, I think, walked through life giving our heart to every single person that we came across, imagine if every single Catholic, 2.2 billion Catholics in the world, imagine if every single Catholic walked through life giving our hearts in the same fashion that the painting of the Immaculate Heart of Jesus Christ did, we would truly set the world on fire. Imagine that. Set the world on fire with the fire of the Holy Spirit just by giving our heart.
And that's on the road to Emmaus. At the end, after Jesus had appeared and then disappeared, they said, "Were our hearts not on fire?" And that's exactly, my brothers and sisters, what God is calling us to do is to have that fire of this new Pentecost, the fire of the Holy Spirit ascending upon us. And that's what Jesus told us in Luke 12:49. He tells us that, "I wish that the earth was on fire and that was already set ablaze." And that's exactly what we need to have for our young adult communities and for all of our communities, our Catholic parishes, to be on fire. I know I asked Bishop Van, who is the bishop of the Diocese of Orange, what do you want for your parish? What do you want for your diocese here? And he says, "I want my parishes on fire." on fire with the love of Jesus.
Amen.
And when we're on fire, everything changes because we feel the presence of God in a very unique way.
Amen. Amen, Deacon. And you know, Mother Teresa, Saint Teresa of Calcutta reminds us, you know, a lot of people, they hear that and then they're super on fire when they're listening to this show or when they're at a talk, and then they leave, and then the devil creeps in. Right then the devil creeps in, and they start to feel overwhelmed, and then they start to doubt themselves, and that fear, like I said, that fear comes in, and then what does it turn into? Well, Deacon Steve is a great evangelist. He's a great speaker. Joe Cinamato, he's a great speaker. He's a great evangelist. I'll support them. I'll let them do it. You know, they can do it. But Saint Teresa of Calcutta reminds us, not all of us can do great things, but we can all do small things with great love. Right there. That's where the fire is. You know, every single thing, if we do every single small thing with great love, no one can say that Saint Teresa of Calcutta did not do great things, but it was never, oh, I need to go out and do these great things. And you can attest, you know, starting your ministry, it's one little thing after one little thing constantly, daily.
And Saint Mother Teresa says, one heart at a time. She says, God has not called us to be successful, but to be faithful. To be faithful in pursuing God with all our heart, soul, might, and strength, and sharing his love with people.
Amen.
Thank you so much for being on the show. It's just really a blessing to be in your presence, my friend. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you and praise you for all young adults. We thank you and praise you for all people. We ask the Holy Spirit with tongues of fire to descend upon all of our radio audience, to open up their ears, eyes, and heart, to be healed spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically, to the power of your love, the power of your Holy Spirit, the intercession of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, in Jesus' name. And I bless you with every spiritual blessing in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. We'll be with you next week at the same time.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio.